So here's my confession. My confession to you this morning, as your speaker, is that I'm not very good at listening to sermons. No. No. Don't tell me that till later, man. It's sad but true. You know, there's lots of times when someone's speaking that they say something that sparks something in my mind, and it becomes like the basis for a future message. And I got to write it down right away before it's gone. In fact, I'm convinced that some of my best messages have never been preached because I was too busy listening to someone else speak. So the idea for this message came to me a few weeks ago. Well, someone who shall remain nameless was preaching. And when it came to me, I really felt that that there was this need for a word that would encourage us in our day-to-day walk. Because life can get hard sometimes, can't it? You know that day-to-day stuff that you know God has called you to do? It can sometimes feel like you're tied to a 100-pound weight, dragging it behind you, in your bare feet, on a beach. And the weight is digging deeper and deeper into the sand. And then it gets caught. And you can't untie yourself. And the tide is rising. So it's a funny thing. The whole outline for this message came to me in just a couple of minutes. And it was written down, and I had it all there, and I sat down this week to work on it, and it was murder. I was dying. And here I was feeling like I was to bring this message of encouragement, and I felt anything but encouraged. I was sitting there on Monday night, and like, and I had it, and then I deleted it, and then I typed it in, and then I moved it around, and I deleted it all again. It was brutal. So I have this message of encouragement, and I was discouraged. And in fact, I had a lousy week. I had a lousy week at work. Stuff that wouldn't normally get to me was just dragging me down. I had a lousy week at home. I'm thankful my family all went downstairs, so they can't confirm that. But, you know, I was snarly and unreasonable all over the place. Yeah. See, my problem was I was running out of places to be, you know, where I didn't really suck. And I was dragging myself through the week, and it felt like I was fighting a losing battle most of the time. And the ironic part is, here's our text for this morning.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah, it's there. It's really, really bad. So there's the text. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. In the New Living Translation, so don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to our Christian brothers and sisters. So there's the text for the message, and I was just fighting it this week. I was tired of doing what's good. You know, I really felt like I'd done just about enough good in my life. Thank you very much. Cindy might disagree with me.
I disagree with you.
Thank you. You ever feel that way? Don't you ever just feel tired of doing the right thing all the time? You know, what if I just don't feel like doing what is right anymore? What if all I want is to do some rest and relaxation from doing what is right all the time? What if what I want is for everything to be good rather than me doing what is good? And how come nobody else is doing good for me? What's the deal with that? And what if I'm really not interested in reaping a harvest at this particular moment? I just want my own way. Sometimes it's tiring to do what's good all the time. Now, I should clarify here that getting tired of doing what is good doesn't mean I'm tired of doing what is good, I'm going to do something bad. Where's the dog? And that little old lady I helped across the street, I'm taking her back. I'm leaving her there. I'm talking about that tiredness and the feeling of being unfulfilled in the day-to-day stuff of everyday life. Why do we become tired in doing what is good? Well, I'm sure there's lots of reasons. I came up with three. First reason, we want to feel good about our role. We want to feel good about our role. There's lots of pressure in doing good, isn't there? I mean, at work, we have to do what is good because people are watching. Our bosses, our coworkers, we're under the microscope, right? People know that we're Christians. We have to do what's right so that we aren't a bad testimony, or maybe just so that, you know, we'll make a good impression on people. At home, we have to do what is good because we want to make sure that our home is running smoothly. And there's a responsibility on us to manage our relationship with our spouse or our children because that's what we're called to do. And besides, it's in our own best interest to make sure that everybody's happy. Because if everybody else is happy, it's more likely that we'll be happy. That's me, at least. And at church, we have to do what is good because, well, it says right in the verses, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially our Christian brothers and sisters. You know, we want our Christian brothers and sisters to think well of us. And far too often, our doing good is tied up in feeling good about the role that we're occupying at that particular time. Whether it's as a parent, a spouse, a friend, a co-worker, a co-laborer in ministry, we want to feel good about ourselves and in what we're doing. I do what is good as a dad because that makes me a good dad. That's all about me. And if my kids don't respond with the appropriate amount of appreciation, respect, adulation, well, then there's something wrong either with them or with me. And just to be clear, my money would be that it's me. Something wrong with me. But now there's a pressure on me to either be a better dad or to make my kids be better kids so that I will feel like my efforts in doing good are bearing some kind of harvest. I do it as good as a husband, theoretically, because that makes me a good husband. And if my wife doesn't respond the way I think she should, I must not be a good husband. Now I have a problem that I need to fix. Doing good puts pressure on me, a pressure to make sure that my relationship with my wife is working right. And if it's not, I feel bad, and I don't like to feel bad. It's all about me. I do what is good in my relationships because I want my friends to view me positively. I do what is good at work so that I will be seen as a good worker. I do what is good at church or in ministry because I have an image to maintain. I do what is good so that I can feel good about myself. That's a lot of pressure. See, first of all, we have to do all the right things so that others will view, value, appreciate me, adore me in the way that I want them to. Then I have to maintain that on a day-to-day basis because once I've attained this lofty status, I can't be seen as moving backwards. Onward and upward, seize the day. Never miss an opportunity to do good to all people. In fact, go out of your way to find ways to do good to all people, and then you will feel good about yourself. I mean, you'll totally be wiped out physically and emotionally, but you'll be a good dad, mom, worker, pastor, whatever. Insert, you know, whatever it is that you want to feel good about. And I really believe that we become tired in doing good, in part because we do good so that we will feel good about ourselves. And that's just a recipe for burnout. You know, we are slowly killing ourselves off under the weight of our own expectations about ourselves. Right? If we do good enough, or we are good enough, then we'll get a certain response from others that will indicate that our efforts have been received and appropriately appreciated. But what happens when the correct response isn't there? Well, we either become frustrated with the other person for not responding in the right way. I'm doing all the right things. You're not responding right. What's wrong with you? Or we have to redouble our efforts to get the right response so that all can be well with the way that we feel about ourselves. If we are doing good to feel good, we begin to live our lives based on the reactions of others, which is an incredibly exhausting lifestyle. And we become tired in doing what is good. I just don't want to do this anymore. Nobody appreciates it anyways. Ever catch yourself saying anything like that? It's a pretty good indication that our motives for doing good are off. What do you mean by that? Self-betrayal. Exactly. Second reason we get tired in doing good is that we want to feel a sense of purpose. We want to feel a sense of purpose. We get tired of doing what is good because we substitute the purpose for why God called us to be good with our own purpose. So on one level, we know that there is a purpose, he tells us, you know. But we don't always feel it, and we want to feel it. To feel like what we're doing is important. We want that harvest right now. Or at least, we want to be able to go out in the fields and see that something's ripening, that something's growing. At least there's some kind of action out there. We want the hope of a harvest, at least. You know, it's hard, you know, when we toil. Nothing. Toil. Nothing. Toil. No, I'm not even going to look. Toil. Oh! Nothing! When we don't feel like there's purpose in doing what is good, it becomes tiresome. And we start to question if what we're doing is really important anyways. Right? And then we start becoming discouraged. And how many times have you, look at myself, I've said, you know, I just wish I was doing something important. I don't feel like what I'm doing right now makes any difference in the world. And you know what? We either keep slogging away, putting our hope in the probability now, it's not the promise anymore, it's the probability that someday there's going to be some payoff for all our doing what is good. Ouch. Or we become discouraged and give up. Because what's the point anyways? Nobody's going to appreciate it. Either way, we're tired of doing what is good. The lack of purpose that we feel drags us down. It sucks the life out of not only what we're doing at the moment, but usually the rest of our life too. So, happy Thanksgiving. Are you depressed about your motives yet? Don't worry, there's a recovery coming. I did say this is a message of encouragement. When we're doing what is good, are we doing something important? Are we? When we're doing what is good, are we doing something important? Why did God call us to do what is good? Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. It's the parable of the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And then he goes on to talk to the goats and says, "You know, you didn't do any of these things for me." You know what my favorite part of that passage is? When all is said and done, and we stand before our Lord in heaven, our Savior is going to commend us for the day-to-day stuff that we did in life. And I think it's interesting that what's notably absent from that list is the great ministry opportunities that we think of, right? So we don't see, "I needed someone to lead an evangelistic campaign, and you organized it and advertised it and you spoke at it and then you did the follow-up ministry all by yourself." We don't see, "I needed someone to start a ministry to whatever and you did it." You know, we don't even see, "I needed someone to lead the local church and you stepped up." And don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing any of those things, George. And I'm sure that Jesus will commend us for those things that we're involved in the end. But the reality is that for the vast majority of Christians, that is not their life. The problem for us is that we tend to think in terms of importance when we look at the things that we're doing, right? And we rank those things that we feel are important as the things that God really commends us for. And the things that feel important, the things that feel like they have a greater purpose, that's what we think that God values most. But this passage doesn't show that. What it shows is that Jesus commends us for the day-to-day things that we do. In fact, he says that when we do those things, it's like we're doing it for him. And I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that the least of these brothers and sisters of mine could apply to any of us at any given time. "I was hungry, and you gave me something to drink. I was thirsty, and you gave me something." Sorry, "I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Which one of us doesn't do most of that stuff every day? In our family. Moms, you may think, "Oh, you know, I'm not doing anything important," but your husband comes home from work, your kids come home from school, you cook dinner. That's right. Your family was hungry, you gave them something to eat, right? We need clothes. The laundry gets done. You clothe us. We go to work. We earn money to bring home, to put food on the table. Our kids come to us. "I'm starving. I'll die soon." We give them a snack, you know. "I fell. I scraped my knee. Oh, go see mom." I mean, no. We take care of it, right? In our relationships with each other, We do this stuff all the time in our jobs, in our ministry opportunities. We feed people. We give them something to drink. We invite them in. We clothe them. We look after them. We visit them. Why do we become tired in doing what is good? Because we do it for the wrong reasons too much. I think if we were really honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that too often we do what is good for self-serving motives. We do it to feel good about ourselves so that we are appreciated and doing something important. We do it so that others will feel good about us, so that they will appreciate us and think that we're important. And the pressure of maintaining that is so great that we begin to sag under the weight of it. And we become discouraged when we or others don't feel about us the way we want. And the weight upon weight is piled on our shoulders until we feel overburdened and overwhelmed and feeling like we just can't go on like this any longer. But what if I saw doing good to my children as doing good to Jesus? What if I saw doing good to my spouse as doing good to Jesus? What if I saw doing good in my relationships with others as doing good to Jesus? What if I saw doing good in my workplace as doing good to Jesus? What if I saw doing good in my church or my ministry as doing good to Jesus? What if I saw Jesus in the people around me that I interact with every day? And what if I saw my service to them as service to Him? Well, for one thing, I'd be nicer to my kids. You know, we do what is good every day in so many ways. Every day we serve Jesus faithfully without even realizing it. We feel tired because we're looking for a harvest in the here and now, in how we feel about ourselves or in what we're doing. And we get discouraged because we don't think that we're doing anything important. And yet Jesus told us that in the end, He will commend us for those little day-to-day things that we do for others. Because in reality, we're doing it for Him. And how important is that? And I think that's the key to not feeling tired in doing good. Seth, can you put the next verse on? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He never intended for doing what is good to be a burden. And we need to release ourselves from the burden of feeling like we aren't doing anything important enough in serving God. Everything we do is important. Yeah. We need to release ourselves from the burden of doing good to make ourselves feel good. It's misguided and it doesn't work. It's the totally wrong place for it. We need to release ourselves from doing good because of what we think others might think of us if we don't. That's a recipe for overwork and exhaustion. Did you know that not every good work is ours to do? Not every good work is ours to do. We need to give ourselves the freedom to check in with God and take the risk of disappointing others if it's not our work to do. Sometimes we pile on the good work on ourselves out of a sense that if we're presented with an opportunity, we have to do it, or we should do it. Don't forget that Jesus at times separated himself from the people around him because the demands were not going to stop coming. The third point, why we get tired in doing what is good, and I think this one ties it all together, is that Satan doesn't want us to understand how important our day-to-day lives are. Satan does not want us to understand how important our day-to-day lives are. Every day we touch the lives of the people all around us, whether it's our family, our workplace, whatever, in very profound ways that we don't even realize. Every day we bless our Lord in ways that we don't understand. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, when Jesus commended the sheep for feeding him, giving him something to drink, inviting him in, clothing him, tending to his sickness, visiting him in jail, they were confused. When did we do that, Lord? And his response is, you don't understand how important those day-to-day things were. When you did those things for others, it was as if you did them for me. Our day-to-day doing what is good resonates throughout the spiritual realms. And I have this picture of alarm bells going off in Satan's office. Oh man, there goes Rex again, doing what is good. Look at Michelle. She's out there doing what is good. Look at all those guys doing what is good. Come on, you guys, get out there. Get on the ground. We need to get in there and deceive them. Get them thinking about themselves. Get them thinking about how hard it is. Get them thinking about how nobody appreciates them. Anything but the truth that their good works are actually for Jesus. And then I picture Jesus in heaven saying, ha! Look at Shelley. Look at what she's doing. Look at George. Look what he's up to. All right. Keep it up. Keep it up, people. Keep doing what is good. Well done, good and faithful servant. Sorry, man. The Lord didn't reveal you to me. That's right. Didn't put my name in there either, Al. Every time we do what is good in service to Jesus and not out of our self-serving motives, blessings flow in both the physical and the spiritual realms, and a spiritual battle is won. When we do what is good as if we were serving Jesus, we strike a blow for his cause. We pick up the sword and we advance his kingdom in both the physical and the spiritual realms. And maybe that sounds like a call to do more, but I'm not calling us to do more. I'm calling us to recognize that what we do has very real and eternal significance, even if we don't see it in the here and now. It's so important that Jesus tells us that it's as if we were doing it for him. And that is a harvest that we can rely on in the here and now. That knowledge that what I'm doing for Jesus. That can turn our entire attitude in serving others. Oh man, so-and-so needs to be served again, but wait a minute. When I serve him, I'm really serving Jesus. Yeah, that's all right. That's good. I can do that. I mean, really, if Jesus was here this morning and he had a need, would we say, oh man, Jesus, do I have to serve you again? I mean, it sounds stupid when we say it out loud. If it really was him, we'd be fighting with each other for the chance to serve. And it really is him. How do we not become tired in doing what is good? Well, we need to understand that it's not about us, the way we think or feel about ourselves. It's not about others and the way they think or feel about us. It's about Jesus and what he thinks and feels about us. And what does he think? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. Way to do what is good. Way to do what I asked you to do. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what he thinks. Don't become tired in doing what is good. Don't do it for the wrong reason. Don't do it because of anyone else's expectations. Do it for Jesus. And at the appropriate time, there will be a harvest. Because he's keeping score. We may not feel like it, but in the end, we'll say, well done. I remember it. I remember when you fed me. I remember when you gave me something to drink. I remember when you came and visited me when I was sick. I remember. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we don't serve a hard taskmaster who whips us when we don't do what we're supposed to. I thank you that we serve a loving Savior who gently and lovingly corrects us. I thank you, Lord, that you are keeping tabs. You're keeping score, not of our sins, because you paid the price for those. Those are done. Over. We come to you for forgiveness, and it's as if, you know, you, as far as the east is from the west, Lord, those sins are gone. But you keep score of our faithfulness. You keep score of our doing what is good, and you will reward it here on earth or when this life is done. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that we don't have to live under the burden of proving ourselves to people or even to ourselves, Lord, but that we can live in the freedom of doing what is good for you because we love you, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to see that. Help us to see you, Jesus, in our families, in our spouse, in our kids, our brothers and sisters, our mom and dad. Help us to see you in our coworkers, in our jobs. Help us to see you in the people on the streets that we meet, Lord. Help us to see you in everyone that we interact with. And I pray that that would turn things for us, Lord, so that we don't become tired in doing what is good, but we think, here's an opportunity to serve you, Lord. Here's an opportunity to serve you. Release us, Lord, from the burden that we feel of our day-to-day lives. Help us to see clearly what it means. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.